Good morning and welcome to our service. Today we're going to be focusing on our spiritual life with God. We begin our service with a prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, by your great goodness we are permitted to enter your house of worship. Lead us all, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Control our worship this morning so that we grow in grace and truth to honor and praise you for your indescribable gift, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn is, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake. Please stand. Our service continues with the liturgy on the bottom of page 2 in the bulletin. And we conduct the service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. O God, you reveal your mighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and kindness. Grant us the full measure of your grace, that we may obtain your promises and become partakers of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and all one verse, and chapter 2, selected verses. And as you may well know, God the Holy Spirit inspired King Solomon to write this book, and he was the wisest man on earth, with the exception of Jesus. And in this section of scripture, he speaks of the vanities of life, this life. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, starting with verse 13. And here is a man who lived a vain and empty life, who lived just for this world. Then one from the crowd said to him, Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself, it is not rich toward God. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue our service with the singing of the hymn, What is the World to Me? we stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that I would lay on your heart this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who blesses us with spiritual life, dear fellow redeemed. As believers in Christ, we have in a very special way died and have been raised to life. In listening to what Paul writes here in this section of Scripture, it's quite obvious this death and resurrection is not talking about a physical death, any bodily resurrection. Rather, speaking in a spiritual sense, he's referring to a death and resurrection in our mind and in our heart. This death and resurrection is apparent in the transformation that takes place in our lives. Being made spiritually alive in Christ, we become new creatures, and we have an entirely different outlook on many different things in this life. For example, we do not regard the Bible in any way a human book, but the Holy Word of God. We're not afraid of God or Judgment Day, because we know him as a loving and merciful God who forgives us of all our sins in Christ Jesus and gives us eternal life in heaven. Also, we acknowledge the Ten Commandments as God's holy will, the way he wants us to live and act and speak in our life. And as children of God, we want to observe those commandments. You won't find this kind of outlook among unbelievers. This wonderful transformation in us began when we were baptized. Paul writes of this in Romans: therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. In our baptism, God worked in us faith. Faith in our Savior God. And we became partakers of many priceless blessings that Jesus worked out for us through his life, death, and resurrection. Such marvelous blessings include such things as God's unconditional love and forgiveness, the Lord looking upon us with favor and delight and being accepted into the eternal family of God. And we have a certain guarantee of going to heaven. That is the blessing that God gives to you at your baptism. In addition to this, our hearts and minds are changed to the extent that we're dead to sin and alive to God. Paul speaks of it in this way: knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. When we were brought to faith in Jesus as our Savior, our sinful nature was put to death. That is, it no longer has the upper hand in our life. It does not rule us, our thoughts and our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. We no longer live for the purpose of gratifying the sinful thoughts and desires. For as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we love God. And we want to live according to His will. Paul reminds us that as new creatures alive in Christ, we're no longer earthbound, but we're heavenbound. He says to us, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When God first created this world, it was perfect in every way. And He intended for the humans He created to live an eternal life on this perfect earth. And all this was changed when sin infected it. Therefore, God, in His infinite love, prepared a life after death. He's going to bring forth a new perfected earth. That's the heavenly world that He has prepared for us after we live in this sin-infected world. He made this possible when He sent His Son to live, die, and rise again from the dead as our Savior. Jesus' sacrificial death and His victorious resurrection from the grave assures us that when Jesus returns on the last day, He's going to raise our bodies from the grave, glorified and perfected. And He'll take us to the new heavenly earth. Paul tells us in our text, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You know, as you get older, you appreciate this more and more. As your body wears out and finally gives out, you look forward to being raised with a perfect body that won't have any problems whatsoever. And not only will we have a perfect body, we're going to have a perfect soul. Never again will there be an unclean thought, feeling, or desire. We'll have perfect ways of feeling, thinking, acting, speaking. What a glorious future that God has prepared for us beyond this world. Since this is our future, we are to regard our lives here on earth as but a pilgrimage. We're on a short journey. It's really short compared to eternity. Our life is like a speck, very short. We're in a short journey. And we are on a pilgrimage with a final destination, the eternal habitations of heaven. In our daily lives, whether at home, at work, at school, or at play, there's a danger of getting caught up in the cares and pleasures of this world so that the spiritual things of God recede back into the background. We can so easily fall into this rut of being earthbound creatures who are merely living for this life, instead of being heavenbound creatures who are living for the life of the world to come. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells the story of a man who was earthbound and not heavenbound. And Jesus tells of how vain, empty, and short-sighted this man's life really was. Talks about a farmer, hardworking, very successful. Nothing wrong with that. But he was working so hard that he had no time for God. No time for the Word of God. No time to worship the Lord. There was no place in his heart for God. When he had a bumper crop, he thought to himself, he had it made in the shade. He'd tear down his old barn, build bigger barns, and you can retire, sit back, relax, take it easy, enjoy life. He had all those possessions. He put his trust in it. He thought that those possessions would give him lasting joy and pleasure. He was a fool, because he set his affection solely on the things of this life and looked to them to give him lasting happiness. And because he was not rich towards God, when he died, he lost everything, including his soul. Jesus says to this, "What is a man profited if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" With our eternal fate hanging in the balance, the evangelist John gives us this godly counsel. He writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Our daily life is to be devoted to God, seeking to bring honor and glory to him, serving him in his kingdom and our respective stations and callings in life. And as we await the day of Jesus' return to restore that world of paradise for us, we want to keep ourselves in constant readiness. Why constant readiness? Do you know when Jesus is going to come? He could come at any time. I wouldn't mind it if it came right now. But we need to be in constant readiness, having a true and living faith in Jesus. And such preparedness involves a daily putting off of the old man and putting on the new man. While we have died to sin and are alive to God, we still have a sinful nature to contend with. And since our old Adam will remain with us throughout our life, every single day we need to continually struggle with and fight against it, lest it once again gain mastery of our soul. To that end, we need to daily put to death our sinful self. How do you do that? Through contrition and repentance, sorrow over sin, and turning to God in faith, looking to him to give us the strength to follow after him in love. Paul lists in our text some of the sins of the flesh we have to contend against. As believers in Christ Jesus, he writes, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This points to all manner of sexual impurities of thought, word, and deed. Jesus' description of living in a wicked and an adulterous generation most certainly applies to our times, and increasingly more so with every passing day. In fact, it's becoming worse and worse. Leading voices have been, in the past, those in government, even in a church, secular schools, entertainment. They approve of and try to promote a lifestyle that is immoral in the eyes of God. To mention just a couple, hooking up for a one-night stand, shacking up for a longer period of time. The Apostle Paul warns that Christians are not at liberty to live this way without suffering eternal consequences. He says in our text, because of this, these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He's talking about the dreadful punishment of hell for anyone who gives himself over to worldliness and does not repent of it. Being confronted with the evil inclinations of our flesh and the godless world's claim that a person has a right to give free rein to sexual passions, we fight the good fight of faith by resisting and suppressing all evil tendencies, and by avoiding those things that would have a bad influence on us. How do you do that? Kind of hard. You can't completely escape the world, but there are things that you can do to avoid some of the temptations. There might be some shows or some movies that not a very good idea to watch, so we avoid it. Many different sources of entertainment. We know what it's all about, and we know how it can tempt us, and we avoid it. The putting on the new man. With the help of God, we cast off from ourselves any hostile feelings of ill will toward others, rid ourselves of the outburst of rage against our neighbor, uproot the attitude of malice which would cause us to harm people, and remove from our lips any words that are hurtful to others. In place of these feelings, words, and actions, the Lord would have us put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The putting on of these and other Christian virtues is a putting on the new man in us. Jesus made this newness of life possible when he laid down his life to redeem us from the slavery to sin and the devil. And even as Jesus rose victoriously back to life from the dead, so also the Spirit has made us spiritually alive through faith in him, so that we are empowered by love to walk in his footsteps. Putting on of the new man that conforms to God's ways is an ongoing process throughout our lives. Although we're never free of our sinful nature and our imperfections in this life, Nevertheless, by the grace and mercies of God, he enables us to walk in righteousness and true holiness. The process of putting on the new man involves our use of the gospel in word and sacrament. Through the saving word of God, the Holy Spirit enables us to grow in knowledge and faith and love. Consider, if you will, the tax collector. You remember that Bible history lesson? Tax collector. He was a liar and he was a cheat. When he was collecting money, he took more money than he had coming to him because he wanted to enrich himself. He didn't have love for his neighbor. He had love for himself. Now, when Jesus came to him, Jesus didn't just go into the man's house, Zacchaeus' house. He came into Jesus, into the Zacchaeus' heart with his wonderful, gracious teachings. And as a result, Zacchaeus became spiritually alive in Christ. He stopped lying to people. He stopped cheating people. And when he had taken any money by unjust ways, he gave it back to him. And not only did he give it back, but he gave four times the amount he stole from him. This was the evidence of the love of Christ at work in his heart. He was alive in Christ. God be praised and thanked for graciously making us new creatures in Christ Jesus through the working of the Holy Spirit and liberating us from a slavery to sin, the dreadful power of Satan, and the fate of eternal death. May God help us to continue putting to death our sinful self through daily contrition and repentance. And through his word, may the Lord renew us in the spirit of our minds and hearts so that we grow in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Seated, we continue our service with the singing of hymn 693, O Holy Spirit, grant us grace.
Thank you.
Our prayers continue to be requested for Terry Bliss, who remains in the hospital in ICU. They are still trying to deal with an infection in her lungs. She has been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a form of cancer in the bones, that affects the blood vessels or blood cells that fight against infections. So we offer a prayer for Terry this morning together with the general prayer. O beautiful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who by your infinite wisdom, love, and might rules our lives, we pray. Guide the destiny and bless the future of Terry, and whatever may result from her illness, that it be according to your good and gracious will. It is your will, if it is your will, restore her body and endow her with strength. Spare her pain and suffering that she might find helpful rest. Above all, comfort her in this time of affliction with the blessed assurance of your mercy, which is freely given to all who trust you and which covers a multitude of sins. May she never forget the tremendous suffering and terrible shame which you, dear Jesus, bore for her, so that she could be an heir with you of heaven's glories. Do not let Satan tempt her into impatience and unbelief, but so strengthen her faith through the Holy Spirit that it will triumph over all the earthly sorrow and physical afflictions. Grant that when it shall please you to summon her out of this life, she may stand faultless at your throne through faith in Jesus, her Savior. And we also pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we humbly thank you that you've made the gospel of salvation known to us and through it brought us to faith in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Let nothing please us more than the assurance that we are born again children of God and heirs of eternal life. Let nothing give us greater joy and satisfaction than knowing that our sins are forgiven. Divine Counselor, bestow your grace continually upon us that we may have the will to resist temptations to sin and the power to overcome attacks upon our souls. Guide us daily along the path of godliness and compel us by our love for Christ to fill our lives with all manner of good works. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to deal honestly and fairly with him, to be patient and kind and forgiving toward him, and to help him in his hour of need. Guard our lips from sinful speech, our hearts from lust, and our minds from malicious thoughts. Center our lives in God, and above all things, help our hearts to desire his great love and mercy, which is already ours through Christ. Make us willing to suffer the loss of all things, even death, rather than fall away from our Savior. Spirit of truth, we confess, we often neglect your word. All too easily, we allow worldly matters to keep us from reading and studying Scripture for ourselves. Help us remedy this spiritual weakness and to include at least some study of your word in our daily life. And as we read and meditate, grant us spiritual growth and blessing according to your promise. Do not permit us to be discouraged by the wickedness of this present evil world. Help us to await with longing hearts the return of our Savior, who will take us to himself in heaven. Reveal the treasure of the gospel to the hearts of sinners everywhere and turn them from their sins and unbelief to Christ. It is in his name that we make all these petitions. In his name we also pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We conclude our service with a final hymn, Praise to You and Adoration. Good morning. Some of the announcements in the bulletin today. The women will have their auxiliary meeting on Tuesday via Zoom. Leslie Herillo will be sending out a link if you'd like to join that meeting. Next Sunday we have worship with Holy Communion. The second Sunday in the month we have the installation service of our new pastor, David Udy. There will be a luncheon that follows. There's a sign-up sheet for anyone who would like to bring food for that luncheon. September calendars are available in the distribution boxes, also on the table in the entryway. The UD girls arrived this week, Anastasia and Samara, and they are attending school in two of the local public schools in Mountain View. They're away for the weekend, having some fun in California, visiting the ocean, I believe. The rest of the UD family are, Lord willing, arriving during this week. And it looks like the their belongings being hauled out here in a U-Haul, different U-Haul pods, about five of them. They should be here next Saturday. So we'll have to spread the word that we'll need some good, strong bodies to unload and put those belongings into the parsonage. And on September 21st, we're going to have our resumption of Bible class, so please note that in the calendar. There's also a note to the ladies about a women's retreat that you can participate in if you wish to. And may God in His grace be with you always.